I would assume that you all are familiar with the Titanic. Anyone here never heard of the Titanic? I mean, everyone has. Let me fill you in on a few details you might not know. Construction on the Titanic began late 1908 and early 1909. It was completed in 1911. Took a little over 2 years to build the thing. At the time, it was the largest ship in the world. It made its maiden voyage on April the 11th of 1912. It was the most expensive thing going. On the Titanic, there was a gymnasium, a swimming pool, smoking rooms, restaurants, a Turkish bath, and other various forms of entertainment that was just beyond belief. It was a thing of opulence. The ship itself was built with 2,000 plates of steel that were 6 feet by 30 feet in dimension, from 1 inch to 1.5 inches thick, each weighing between 2.5 and 3 tons. And there were 2,000 of these things. It had 5 watertight compartments. And consequently, they believed that the Titanic was unsinkable. Well, that didn't last very long. It set out for the United States, and as you probably know, hit an iceberg. They believe now that 4 of the compartments became so flooded that they couldn't keep afloat, and the ship actually broke in half. They have recovered, or at least found the places where the ship is on the bottom of the ocean, and the front half of the boat and the back half of the boat are over 1/3 of a mile apart. What man thinks is indestructible, God says, don't forget about me. Our study in Ezekiel 27 tonight deals with the city of Tyre. We started it last week in chapter 26. And that was Tyre's problem. Very much like the Titanic, Tyre was a place of opulence. Tyre was a place that was thriving. Tyre was a place that had no time for the thought of God. It thought it was, because of its situation, if you were here last week, you noted that it was an island off the coast. And they thought nobody could basically get to it. Therefore, we can do whatever we want. God said, we'll see about that. Chapter 27 is basically it's a lamentation. It's a funeral dirge. It is very poetic language. In fact, one commentator said it's probably some of the most beautiful language of the whole Old Testament. But the Lord speaks through Ezekiel and likens the city to a ship. Chapter 27 is 36 verses in length. It's very detailed. If I was to spend enough time to go into the interpretation of all the details in here tonight, we would be here until next Sunday. I'm not going to do that. It breaks down into 4 different sections. I'm just going to read the things and give you kind of just an overview of this. I think we can get away with that tonight and then make some application. Chapter 27, verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyrus, and say unto Tyrus, O thou that are situate at the entry of the sea, which are a merchant of the people for many isles. Thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. The beauty here refers to all the things that man looks on as desirable in life, particularly riches. But it's sitting at the entrance of the sea. It was right in the middle of the shipping lanes from up in northern Mediterranean down into Egypt, and consequently everything came through Tyre. They became very, very rich. In these next couple of verses, Ezekiel describes the richness of the country as the particular things for which the ship is built. He likens it to a ship. Thy borders are in the midst of the sea. Thy borders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all thy shipboards of fir trees, of senir. They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for these. Of the oaks of Bashan have they made thine oars. The company of the Asherites have they made thy benches of ivory, brought out of the isles of Chittim. Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail. Blue and purple was from the isles of Elisha, which was that which covered thee. Everything in here was the finest. That was the country. I mean, their standard of living was par excellence. Nobody did it better. That's the thriving economy of the day. Beginning at verse 8, he's going to deal with the people who were involved in administrating the trading or the economy. The inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were thy mariners, thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee, with thy pilots. The ancients of Gebel and the wise men thereof were in thee, thy caulkers. The caulkers would be a person on a ship that if something sprung a leak somewhere, they'd fix it quickly. So here, remember the analogy is to economy. Sometimes things go wrong in economies. There was always somebody there to repair it and make it work again. All the ships of the sea with their mariners were in thee to occupy thy merchandise. They of Persian, of Lud and Phut were in thine army. Thy men of war, they hanged the shield and the helmet of thee. They set forth thy comeliness. The men of Arvad with thine army were upon thy walls round about. And the Gamadians were in thy towers. They hanged their shields upon their walls round about. They have made thy beauty perfect. Not only did they have people that were wise economically, they had a military backing. That's what verses 10 and 11 seem to say. You can get a lot done when you can exert some military force upon people. When you can apply some threats of economic hardship, or military hardship to get the economy that you want, and that was Tyre. Verses 12 through 25 describe the wideness of their economy. Tarshish was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of all kinds of riches. With silver, iron, tin, and lead, they traded in thy fairs. Javan, Tubal, and Meshech, they were thy merchants. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in thy market. The persons of men were slave trading. They of the house of Togarma traded in thy fairs with horsemen, or horses and horsemen and mules. The men in Dedan were thy merchants. Many isles were the merchandise of thy hand. They bought thee for a present horns of ivory and ebony. Syria was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of the wares of thy making. They occupied in thy fairs with emeralds, purple, embroidered work, and fine linen, and coral, and agate. Judah and the land of Israel, They were thy merchants. They traded in thy market wheat of Minnith and Penang and honey and oil and balm. Damascus was thy merchant in the multitude of wares of thy making, for the multitude of all riches in the wine of Helbon and white wool. Dan also and Javan going to and fro occupied in thy fairs. Bright iron, cassia, and calamus were in thy market. Dedan was thy merchant in precious clothes for chariots. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they occupied with thee in rams and goats, and these were all thy merchants. The merchants of Sheba and Ramah, they were thy merchants. They occupied in thy fairs with chief of all spices and with all precious stones. Haran and Cana and Eden, the merchants of Sheba and Asher and Chilmad were thy merchants. These were thy merchants in all sorts of things, in blue clothes and embroidered work, and in chests of rich apparel, bound with cords and made of cedar among thy merchandise. The ships of Tarshish did sing of thee in thy market. Tarshish was probably Spain. And thou wast replenished and made very glorious in the midst of the seas. Basically, you have here a worldwide economy. And it all went through Tyre. Tyre was the hub. And Tyre benefited from all these things. It was rich beyond description. Everything went through them. Except the gospel. And they never had a thought for God. Beginning at verse 26, we see the ship is going to sink. Thy rowers have brought thee into great waters. The east wind, probably a reference to Babylon, hath broken thee in the midst of the seas. Thy riches and thy fares, thy merchandise, thy mariners and thy pilots, thy caulkers and the occupiers of thy merchandise, and all thy men of war that are in thee, and in all thy company which is in the midst of thee, shall fall into the midst of the sea in the day of thy ruin. Everybody is going to perish. The suburbs shall shake at the sound of the cry of thy pilots, and all that handle the oar, the mariners, and all the pilots of the sea shall come down from their ships. They shall stand upon the land, and shall cause their voice to be heard against thee, and shall cry bitterly, and shall cast up dust upon their heads. They shall wallow themselves in the ashes, and they shall make themselves utterly bald for thee, and gird them with sackcloth, and they shall weep for thee with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And in their wailing they shall take up a lamentation for thee, and lament over thee, saying, what city is like Tyrus, like the destroyed in the midst of the sea? When thy wares went forth out of the seas, thou fillest many people. Thou hast enriched kings of the earth with the multitude of thy riches and with thy merchandise. In the time when thou shalt be broken by the seas and the depths of the waters, thy merchandise and all thy company in the midst of thee shall fall. And all the inhabitants of the isles shall be astonished at thee. And their kings shall be sore afraid. They shall be troubled in their countenance. The merchants among the people shall hiss at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. God says it's all going to come to a crash. You're going to hit an iceberg. And what you thought was unsinkable is going to break in half and be utterly lost. The problem here in this last portion is that Tyre's economy affected not just themselves, but the whole world. And it came to a crash. The king of the east, which was Nebuchadnezzar, came, took a while. Interestingly enough, I think I noted this last week, when the mainland city was destroyed, they used the ruins of the wall to build a causeway out to the island that he could attack on foot. And consequently, the city was ruined. I want you to turn over from past history to future history. Revelation chapter 18. It's been said that the one thing we've learned from history is that we haven't learned from history. History has a way of repeating itself. And it's going to happen again.
Amen.
Interesting. Notice the parallels as I read Revelation chapter 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Let me stop for just a second. He's speaking of first political, the rulers of the world, and then economic Babylon. A world system of government and a world system of economy. In tribulation times, all under the supervision of the Antichrist. And it's going to come one day to a crashing halt. Verse 7, How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she hath said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. I'm unsinkable. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, just as it did with Tyre, just as it did with the Titanic. Death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament over her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in an hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Why? Because they've gone. The market collapsed. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. That's exactly what Tyre was dealing with. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour so great riches has come to nothing. It's going to happen again. The world's economy is going to crash. Question. The United States of America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy.
Sure sounds like it here.
It sure sounds like it here. Where did I hear that before? Of all the nations of the world, who is the most influential in the areas of economics throughout the world? The United States of America. If our economy would crash, what would it do to the world?
Domination.
Domino effect. While other nations may hate us, they rely upon us. Where is the United States in relation to God today? Tyre, thriving economically, but they had no time for God. God said, we'll see about that. I am not a prophet. I don't think prophets exist today. But I wonder, will the economy crash one day and America come to naught as far as being able to influence righteousness throughout the world? I think it's very probable. One last turn, if you will, Luke chapter 12. I want to move this from the corporate level to the personal level. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 15. And he, that is Jesus, said unto them, take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Nothing wrong with possession, but life doesn't consist in the abundance of things. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Economically, he was doing great. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Do you notice something missing in that statement? God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to Him. Everything that we have is from His hand of graciousness. But not according to this guy. And he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. You're unsinkable. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry, live it up. Nothing could ever happen to you. You've got enough to take care of yourself forever. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? God blessed this man with abundance so that he could bless others. But everything was his. And now he's going to lose it all. Verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Life does not consist in the abundance of things when God is not recognized as the provider and keeper of them. Be careful that you don't get caught up in the dollars and lack of sense of this world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for blessings. We've received abundance of blessings. We are living in a materially rich time. And sometimes we complain that we don't have enough when we're overflowing with blessings from you. But even more so, what a great salvation the writer of Hebrews says belongs to us, given by grace and received by faith. in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Lord, how blessed we are. Lord, help us to remember that blessings always come from You. Every good and perfect gift that we have. May we never lose sight of that. May we keep the realization of a God who blesses before our eyes continually, that we might be careful to share with the world that which is truly of great wealth, salvation in Jesus Christ. And we'll just praise You for what You do as we ask these things in Your wonderful, precious name. Amen. Have a good week. Amen.